We're going to take that with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. Amen. All right, so this part you're going to just get to shout out. What do you want to multiply in the setting where you are at? We're going to start over here.
Healthy families.
Leaders. Okay. Fruitful leaders. You got leaders and then you got fruitful leaders. Very nice. I like that. Over here.
Church planters.
Church planters. What else? You're obviously here for a reason. Or you're in the wrong session. Sorry? You want to multiply prophetic stuff. The prophetic. Okay? Dallas, what do you want to multiply, dude? Right. Yes. Because multiply doesn't mean you necessarily do the same thing, bigger or more of it. It's the next thing.
And I'd probably say it like this way, like finding people to multiply yourself. Like, I am the lid.
What? You are the lid.
I am the lid.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit wants to.
Right. More. Right. Yeah, most of the time we're the lid, right? Or the narrow part of it, right? Because, and especially if everything goes through you, and we're finding that after COVID, what happened is we went and we became more efficient, and we realized we haven't gone out as far back as we thought we had. And our senior pastoral team, which is kind of like our elders, were sitting around the other day and we're going, we are the problem. Because we love to have a flat organization, right? Where that isn't so much where it's somebody on the is a funnel or somebody is the problem, and realize we have to still keep doing that after COVID. Happens to us. Okay, who else? What do you want to multiply? Crystal. Volunteers. I knew that was gonna be your answer. I was in Yorkton not so long ago. We need volunteers. Okay. I am so glad Larissa's doing my slides, because Larissa is somebody who knows me for how long, Law? 15? And realizes that I like to say I flow with the Spirit. The tech people like to say Aubrey preaches 3 different messages on a weekend. Because you just never know where it's going to go. So glad you're here, Law. The thing that John Maxwell said I thought was interesting, he says, to add growth, you lead leaders. To multiply, you lead followers. To multiply, you lead leaders. And I'm not like anti-John Maxwell, but I thought, you know, that's really great, except we actually need to do both. You know, like I've been to a lot of like leadership conferences where it's like, yeah, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to lead leaders. And you realize, yeah, but I'm still a pastor. I still have people who need me. We have a guy in our church during the pandemic who might be one of the quietest people in our church. And he got me to be a Facebook friend. I say yes to everybody on Facebook to be a friend, because I think if your pastor doesn't want to be your friend, seems bad, right? You know, that seemed like a bare minimum thing. And so I said yes to him, and he said, would you mentor me? And I thought, oh, you know, he is not that. He's not the bottom line. I said, sure. And then I thought, I wonder why I said sure, because I almost never do that, right? Because I kind of like that bottom line thing. And he's very short in his text. He's like a guy's guy, like a 5-word text. I'm going, oh, this is going really well so far. I like this. I can move. Boop, done. And then we had coffee once. Turns out Kevin is probably not going to be our next campus pastor. But you know what he did? We sent a bunch of people out to one of our campuses because our setup team was like completely falling apart and they're all stressed and all their backs weren't working anymore. Like our pastor had a herniated disc and our associate pastor had compressed discs. And so if you have a set up tear down church, you know what this is about. And so we sent a few of our guys. Everybody bailed on us except Kevin. And we go. I went to all the other guys and we talked to each other this way. I said, look at you losers. Look at my guy. My guy kept going. Where are all your guys? They bailed on you, right? And then he's this Saturday, because I'm busy, he's leading the small group for the campaign thing that you're doing. Now, he is not, in this room, he is not going to be our world's best leader. But isn't it great that the Holy Spirit is smarter than me? Right? Because, yeah, you want to multiply, you want to lead leaders, but there are also strategic people that God is going to put in your path because you are always in the business of loving people and moving them forward and making that happen. So here's my first question for you. You want to probably help people if you're going to multiply to have them dream a little bit beyond where they're normally at. How do you get yourself to dream? How do you get yourself to lift up your eyes because you're busy doing everything, you're making it happen? And some of you, this is the air that you breathe, so you're almost confused by the question, right? Not looking at anybody in particular. Some of you have too big, Crystal, too many dreams, these two for sure, too many dreams, right? So, how do you get yourself to dream? Because you are busy doing a million things, right? You are trying to keep this going. I was visiting Dallas, and the church is, I know you don't want to talk about numbers, but the church has doubled since the last time I was there a couple years ago. They're in this new building, and they're bursting, and, you know, I saw the look on Dallas's face, and it was complete delight and terror at the same time, right? It's like, I don't know how I do this. So here's my, I'll start with this, Dallas, and I'm picking you a little bit because you know. Did you have this dream that you were going to double and you were going to be in the Roxy Theater and like God showed you that picture, right? And you've just gone full head toward that dream? Yeah. What was in your heart, though, that maybe you think made a pathway for that to happen? More, right? And I love that because Dallas's story is lots of years, 15 years?
Of less.
But incredibly faithful, plowing it through, doing stuff. He's talked about this publicly, how they had, you know, just really bad internal stuff they had to build back up again, and God's done amazing work in them. Lots of less, but at some point there was somebody saying, hey, I want more. Okay, how do you do it? Because you can't lead people where you aren't. Yeah. How do you fan into flame your ability to dream? And I want practical stuff that you do, because there are people here who just got, that all sounds great to dream. Rick Warren has a book. Do we know that Rick Warren has a book? No. He's got a book on dreaming. And it's not bad, you know? How do you dream?
So, okay.
Oh, right. Raise your hand up. Yeah.
So actually, one of the things in order to dream for me is I actually have to give stuff away. So like we hired a leadership development pastor.
Okay.
So that would free me up to be able to dream because I'd hit my lid.
Uh-huh. You have to unclutter your mind, so make space.
Yeah.
Perfect. Love it. And we can't always hire people, but you have to unclutter your mind because if it's so filled up, you probably don't have space to dream. Is that true?
Yeah.
Absolutely true. What else? Yeah, in the back.
About the things that I want to,
it's helpful for people who don't have great hearing.
So I just think about the things that I'm passionate about and how I want them to develop. So
dream about, I mean, I don't know, I just dream all the time. So I'm always excited about the new thing, and I'm always trying to think, oh, how can we make that new creative step? Like, and I don't know, like, you just kind of think about the things where you want to go, and you start thinking about it.
Absolutely. So, and you might be one of those natural dreamer type people, which is great, but you still do have to take time to set aside to say, okay, I'm going to think about these things. I'm going to make it happen. I lay back in my chair in my office, and I literally ask the Holy Spirit to just kind of clean my slate. And what is it that you want to do, right? Would you? And some of my dreams are, some of our dreams are just our thoughts. And our thoughts, semi-helpful. Probably gets you looking from down here to up here. That's the helpful part, right? It raises your eyes, because most of the time we're looking down here, all the problems we don't have, all the volunteers that aren't there, all the stuff that's not working, all those people who were offended. Oh, no, wait a minute. We're not offended anymore, right? All that kind of stuff. So even dreams that are just your musings are actually super helpful to you. It gets you raised up. What else? I'll just take like one or two more. How do you dream? You talk about it. To who? Really good.
I'll usually ask, like, hey, can I share a dream? And then I'll talk about it until they're tired of listening.
I'll talk about it until they're tired of listening to me. Very funny, Jen. Okay. And then Dave.
I love to dream as well.
Okay.
But what challenges me is I love to read stories of how God has worked through other people.
Oh,
and
there we go.
And that always challenges me to dream just that much bigger.
Right.
So being inspired by how God has used others.
Good. And then this fine-looking gentleman.
I'll just say really loud, I just pray God help me make the most of what I have right now.
Help me make the most. Oh. Oh, so it isn't just about out in the future. Right. Yeah, because those are steps, right? The steps that you have of dreaming has to do with what God is working inside of you. Like we heard from Moses that God was actually doing those things. God's way more concerned about your character and you than he is about all your grand thoughts that you have. He will take care of your grand thoughts, but you got to be faithful and do it, make it happen. Okay, so those faith steps that you're talking about are really kind of that multiplication mindset, is that when you honor God, and I really believe this is true, when you honor God with your dreams, he honors you. So are you? It's an honoring God by saying, I'm going to choose to dream. And all the stuff that Gianni talked about are dream squelchers, right? So this whole faith step of doing it. I brought this, I didn't tell my wife. I always like permission, forgiveness thing. That picture, well, this is Eileen and I when we were in Bible college. Look it up, look at that popped up collar. Ow! She, and from that moment on, yeah, I was like a farm boy from Saskatchewan, right? From that moment on, we had a dream that God was going to use us in ministry. We were called, we were actually living in Calgary, we were called, and God said, you know what, I want you guys, you two, to be in ministry, and we were going to make stuff happen. And then we went to a church and had some really good things, and we had a few people that wanted to defrock us. They were semi-successful. We left, right? I was for sure a heretic. That part was established, right? And so left that thing, went through that whole process that Gianni talked about, kind of culminated with some, where's our American guys? There we go. Some crazy American evangelist prophetic guy who I thought, that's like the worst person I've ever seen in a long time. He literally pushed my kids over when he was trying to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. I was like, mess with my boys. Yeah. I mess with you. And just after he pushed my kids over, literally pushed my kids over, he turned to me. I was in the back crying like a baby because I was a terrible pastor and I destroyed a church and I thought I was supposed to die there. It was my dream. Was that God's dream? but it was something that had me lift up my eyes to what I was supposed to be, what a pastor's heart is for the church, right? I heard this voice saying, "You, it's not your fault." And then I started crying like a lot, right? Then I was just this huge puddle. It's crazy. All Americans are not bad. Right. Yeah, there's plenty. Do we have an amen? No. And so there's this whole thing that happened. Eileen and I left. God gave us a vision. I had a verse. I was walking around. I was a charismatic Mennonite. Do we know what Mennonites are? Yeah, very conservative, you know, everything like, I was a charismatic Mennonite, very interesting combination, with no teaching, no instruction, and no framework. Slightly dangerous? Oh yeah, carnage. And so I ended up, we ended up feeling like God wanted us to church plant, and we were all going to church plant with our people, our Mennonite people, and then Eileen and I had this little epiphany that we were going to end up in the same place that we ended up in before, that I was still a charismatic Mennonite. And so we came to Church of the Rock, and the first time that Mark and Kathy met us at Newcomers Luncheon, God told Mark that that's your next pastor. He didn't tell me that, by the way, for like a year, I think, or something like that. And so we had this whole thing, and we said, no, we're going to church plant, because God put a dream in our hearts. And he gave me a verse, and he did all that stuff for me. Because I needed to have my eyes lifted up. 10-15 years later, we are on staff. We do stuff. We want to multiply out, and we start our first multi-site. And this should be a great encouragement to you. If we count regularly, we have had 5 multi-sites. 2 of them have failed and had to get shut down. You should be very encouraged by this. When you do, you say, how is that encouraging, right? Because it was God's vision, it was God's plan, it was all that stuff, and we still had to learn and grow and figure it out, and God's not stressed that 2 of them failed. In fact, we learned so much. The low point of our first one that we did in multiplying was when we found out that the guy, this is like brilliant leadership, the guy that we got to lead our first one, we didn't know at all. Turns out he was a complete nut. Like, he was literally in the parking lot of the church that he had left, waiting for people to come out of the church to try to drag them off to Church of the Rock. That was a very low point. And we thought, what have we done? And the whole thing just sort of imploded. We work really hard to guard our reputation, that we try to be people of integrity and everything like that. Zero integrity, right? Dragging people out of one church into another. It was so horrible. Then, fast forward another a few years, we put our tail between our legs and said, yeah, this whole church planning thing, apparently we're no good at it. And then what we did is we felt like God said maybe the whole multi-site thing, and we start planting the multi-sites. But here's the thing that I want you to get from this. And there's just a few things that I'll stop and talk about. We didn't have enough volunteers to do what we were doing here. Right, Kathy? Nobody to usher and greet. We didn't have enough Kids Rock people. We had nothing in our hands. Our hands were empty. We were so like, what in the world are we doing? But you know what we had? People who were different than our thing, but still liked us. Do you get that? People who thought differently a little bit. They were more entrepreneurial. They had something that the Holy Spirit was stirring in them. And so if we're going to multiply, guys, we have to realize that there is something different going on in all of this. And what we had to learn to do, and this is where I want to workshop a little bit, is we had to learn to give people, and I know you know these words because I look around, you're all amazing leaders, but we had to give people a clear, compelling vision in a way that communication is you throw the ball in a way that people can catch it, right? And we had done a lot of communicating, but we didn't throw the ball in a way that people could catch it. So we had to figure out how to do that. So we're going to do this. I'm going to put those scenarios up for us, and we're going to work through this together. We need to go to two services because we have no room. It's terribly uninspiring. It's a fact. So if you were going to talk to, and here's what I want you to think about, your audience. If you were going to talk to the people who you want to inspire to do, to multiply, to do something more, to see something, how would you talk to somebody who is, and we'll just sort of put some scenarios out, somebody who's a businessman who's busy? That's going to be the first one. Second one is going to be maybe, and you can pick whichever one you want here, somebody who is just at the verge of retiring, their kids are out of the house, and they might have some time, but they're volunteering in 15 different things in their community, and they like pickleball. Right? A young couple with kids everywhere. How do you help them understand that they need to have a new service, change our venue, split a small group, like any of those things? How do you say those things to people in a way that they can get it? Because I think sometimes what we're guilty of is we get it the way we get it, and it's very inspiring to me because I spend my whole life in the church world. Do we think? They spend almost no time in that world. They spend the time in their world. And we need to bridge worlds to cast a vision. Okay, so now you're going to tell me. You can pick whatever scenario you want, but you need to tell me who your audience is, who are you talking to, and I'm going to... Really short, right? You're going to have a good thought on this, Dave. I just know it. It's going to be... It's going to be beautiful. Who would?
I will say, I would say any of those situations.
Okay.
I would start with what do you love about your church?
Excellent. See, that was like prophetic, I think. See, you wouldn't necessarily have thought of that, would you? You would have think about, here's where we're going, right? Come on. What do you love about church? And why would you say that?
To then build on the foundation of what they love to be able to speak vision.
Great. Build on the foundation of what they love to be able to speak vision into it. Really great. You don't have to be that deep and profound. That was like a pretty decent answer. Yeah. How would you say it? Oh, we'll get a mic to you if that's okay. Because
sure.
We have people who can hear everything then.
With regard to the two services, I'll go quick. No, I noticed like to have someone take the mic. We had to do this a number of years ago, and we did a lot of look at what God is doing among us. Look at what God is doing
right
among us. And we did a lot of that for a significant period of time.
How long?
Probably, you weren't there yet, three or 4 months, if not longer.
Okay.
We started having those conversations with folks to set the seed for now we have to split.
Okay. And I don't think you used the word split, did you?
No.
Yeah. Ooh, bad. What did you use instead? What word did you use instead? What was your language?
We're going to add a service to make more room. We did a lot of that.
For who?
For those that God is calling into our family.
Yeah.
In our community.
Okay. What were the key words there? Family.
Community,
right? God calling, so it wasn't like your brilliant idea, as brilliant as you are, right?
No.
Right? All, like, think about that. And who, when you were talking to people, who were you talking to?
We, as a whole, we talked to the whole church about it.
Okay.
As a leadership team, we're talking to individuals, members of our family. It was kind of a multi-campaign.
All over the place, right? Making it happen to everybody. And yes, you have to talk to key people. But it's very easy for us to forget that it's actually everybody that makes this whole thing float,
yeah.
Right? And I'm a little bit of a, I'm a little bit of this whole, like, all leaders are everything, and we've got to talk to our leaders, and if you don't have your leaders, yeah, that's kind of true, but we can get so leader-heavy with everything that we forget that the church is the people. And you know, we spend a lot of time sowing into our leaders. We have leaders' meetings once a month, and we do all this stuff. But we need to get everybody understanding at whatever level they can understand that this is happening. Okay, we got other things to cover, but that's absolutely great. All right, so you have a clear, compelling vision. Communicate to the right people, throwing how they can catch. So I want to talk to you about two ways that you do this. You look for low-hanging fruit that is ready. You got some made leaders. You have some people that that God has brought into, because post-COVID, COVID was the big upset, wasn't it? Everybody decided, some people decided they like their pajamas and Craig Groeschel, and that's their church now. Other people decided they didn't like us because we didn't put the Canada flag on the front and say, yay, convoy. We thought maybe Jesus was more important than the convoy. I don't care what you think of the convoy or don't think. Not the point, right? So we had people leave, and we had other people come in. So we have this whole thing, and we need to begin to think to say, okay, so we have all these seasoned leaders, all this stuff, but now we have all these new people coming in, or a few new people coming in. What are we going to do with those people? And we for sure have to disciple them, because they don't really know what the Holy Spirit is. They're kind of from non-Holy Spirit-ish places. This is our gift that we got, right? But who are those people for you? I think if you miss what God did in the post-pandemic, you're going to miss your people that you can connect with. And they because some of those people that left are a blessing that they left, and some of those people who have now come to your church are hidden gems, and you probably need to have a coffee with them, right? Okay, so you got low-hanging fruit. In our context, we have a big foyer. I do foyer scan every Sunday, because I'm the eye in the sky guy, and I'm literally after I go out and we've been doing whatever, I would say, Holy Spirit, would you show me? And I'm looking around. I had one of our women who does ladies, our lady who does women's ministry, Lisa, just incredible. She said, I'm finished with this. We need to have another women's ministry person. And sitting there talking to me, and I'm looking around. I thought, huh, I wonder who could do this. And literally, God just sort of directed my thought toward Leanne. And I said, oh, you know what? I bet you Leanne could do it. And you know what? Leanne is doing it. And it's amazing. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if that happened every time? If you had your, like, Holy Spirit. Doesn't actually work that way. But you know what? I think we can underestimate the Holy Spirit in the moment, because he just might give you something that you want to do, or he might help you to see, because what he does is he sees people different than you see people, right? He sees the things in them that you're growing, and especially if you've been in church a long time, you already have a slot for everybody. And you kind of know where they are. That guy's a flake. I know they're going to flake. Like, you know, and they might. But the Holy Spirit knows if their flakiness is being turned, right? So you think about those things, and you make those things happen. Okay, so that's the low-hanging fruit that we're all grabbing a hold of. What about shaking the bushes? How do you shake the bushes and find potential in leadership, and what that really, really means in your life? We did this in a way, and I'll go to the mentoring slide. We did this in a way that was different for us. And we do stuff, and then we make nice pictures after we're done. So, like, if you don't have these pictures, don't worry about the pictures, because it really is what we're functioning in. We thought, we have no leaders. How do we grab a hold of this? And this is a little bit of how we do it. Jesus spoke to the multitudes. He had the 72, he had the 12, and we had the 3. We all know this. This is great. He had close friends. But what we missed was, we do most of our stuff in large, the teaching, preaching, worship, the Sunday morning deal. We do a little bit, which is anybody can come and everybody can come. Kind of a low, really low relational quotient. Then we have our medium groups. In our context, that's our teaching times where we get larger teaching stuff, that we make that happen. And we have activations and discussions. Again, anybody can come to make this happen. And then we have our small groups. You guys are small groups people, I assume. And you get your small groups, and we do affinity in small groups. You have discussion and activation. Your relational quotient is a little higher. And then we kind of stopped. And what we really have kind of felt compelled with, it was one of our pastors here who realized that our marriages were in trouble. And we had the most amazing marriage ministry in this church. We were told we had the best marriage ministry in this church because we had 15 courses that we did, and we just cranked them through, right? Except I'm not sure it was really working, cranking people through courses. And so we said, okay, if Jesus did that, and we said, we're going to do mentoring, but here's how we're going to do mentoring. We're going to ask nobody who's a leader to mentor. You're not allowed to, if you're a mentor, you're not allowed to lead, because we've got low-hanging fruit, right? And they're all busy, and they're all doing stuff, and you may want them to do other stuff. So what we did is we shook the bushes and said, okay, you can share your experiences that you have, and this is going to sound bad, and it wasn't maybe quite this bad, if your marriage is not a dumpster fire, pretty high bar, right? And people kind of self went away because they realized. And we said, if you would be willing for 6 months to meet with a couple or two or three, can't do that. And all of a sudden, we got a whole different group of people that we have never gotten before in our life. We've put, and you got to scale this because we're a bigger church. Like sometimes your three is bigger than our 100, but we put 100 people through marriage ministry in a way that they had now somebody they could connect with and they could mentor with. And none of these people were leaders. Zero. Shake the bushes, right? And what we found was, and even using the word mentoring, I don't know, do you guys? That seems a bit intimidating, right? I am the mentor. Right? We do like a constellation thing here where we say, there are 100 people who could be your mentors. You're mentored by Jesus, by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Peter, who are dead people that you're mentored by, right? There's people that you study. You are mentored by Craig Rochelle, all those people, and then there's 20 people. Somebody can help you in your marriage, somebody can help you here, somebody can help you there. So we've tore people away painfully from the idea of mentoring is one guy. We'd all like to have good answers like Dave, right? Beautiful answer. But we can have a really great couple who's super busy and will sit down with somebody and have marriage stuff for a while and talk to them over. And mentoring is problem crisis oriented. This is how we do it. I'm just giving you an example of something where you're shaking the bushes and doing something completely different. We never thought of that. And we think, oh, Jesus, all right, real good. Yes. Yeah, we didn't do, the pre-existing relationships already existed and they were good. We didn't mess with that. What we did is we chose people who were in trouble and we said, hey, we got a guy for you, a couple for you, and you do it. And where we went from whoever to chosen is we matched those things. So it was a little more work for us. And I did this with our guys because in our men's ministry we have... We were starting up men's ministry. Our men's ministry was anemic and horrible. And we literally had to start over again. And Pastor Mark said, would you lead this? And I said, sure. In all the spare time that I have, not a problem. I can do this. Surveyed all the guys and realized there was no one thing for the guys. So we put together a whole bunch of different things. We started with the mentoring, you know, preached a message and said, you know what, here's the common things that are true of all guys. They like a big challenge, but they sometimes will just lay down and go to sleep when the challenge is presented. Like you have to hit, you know, and like went through this whole thing with them. And I went and tapped, I chose 40 guys, tapped them on the shoulder, and I said, and Peter, this is what you talked to me about, because we have a bunch of Africans in our church, and Peter said to us, you have way more authority in their life than you realize. I went and tapped a couple of guys. Where's Addy? One of them. Our guy doing sound. You can close your ears now, Addy. Addy's our sound guy. He is one of the wisest, more most mature, brilliant guys we have in church. Sound people, right? Barbara? Right? Because I tapped him on the shoulder, and he said to me, you know, I'd never thought of that before. You can really pretend you're not here now, Addy. I'm not sure I've ever done that. And you know what Addy was doing? He was actually doing this, but he'd never thought of it in that way before. So there are people who are doing it. There are people who you tap on the shoulder because you have the authority and the equity with people more than you think you do. And it's okay for them to say no. But especially if you've ministered for a while, I love it. You have, and just, this is an age thing, you have a father or mother thing going with them that they see in you. And if you call it out of them, they're going to go, oh, okay. And like not using fancy words like mentor and all, that's just like super intimidating, right? Would you meet with somebody and talk to a guy about some of the things that he's struggling with for 6 months? Yeah, I can do that. Okay? Low-hanging fruit. Here is what we've done. And then we made a fancy diagram and stole somebody's F words. We went, set up four of our multi-sites, and Eileen and I went around and did all of, started the sites, brought a younger person with us, released them out to do it. It was like one of the greatest joys of my life, being able to do this. And we have all these sites that we started. And then, is anybody here from Morse? No, I don't think so. And then the Morse, they had tough stuff happening. They might have even closed. And I said to Karen, hey, do you want to come join us? You know that adoption thing that Ian was talking about? Totally this thing. And they said, boy, we need to. And so they show our messages on the screen. And when their worship team flakes on them, they show our worship. And it sort of worked. But here's the process that we did. And like I said, all of this fancy, you know, the diagram always looks way better than real life. You know this, right? This isn't all this, you know, look at the perfect funnel and how it does, or whatever. What's that?
Candy
cane. Yeah. Okay, Jen. Now you got her thinking, now you got us thinking candy. Yeah, it's supposed to be a funnel or a pipeline, but there you go. What we did is we went through this process, and I went through this process with a lot of people in church, and we started our campuses, and then COVID hit. And I stopped doing this. I came back to this campus, and the whole pipeline dried up because nobody was looking and doing what I was doing. And that isn't like, oh, Aubrey's so great. It's just like somebody has to do it, right? Because we had some of you know Graham Hunt. They just celebrated 10 years in their campus, and amazing stuff that God's done with Graham. You know, some of you would know Andrew Campbell, and we took Andrew through this process, and he was our best small group leader in Bronx Park. And so we said, hey, Andrew, come on side, and we started walking him through this process. So the finding would be this, and I'll run through this really quickly. anybody youth pastors here? Okay, forgive me now. I went to our youth pastor. Explained something to him. He completely forgot because he was busy doing the stuff that our youth pastor was doing. So I went back to him again. You guys would never do this, clearly, right? You're way better. And explained it to him again. And what we did is we said, okay, most of the people that we want to find, we have to find in a way that when I was in that age, everybody went to Bible school. The whole idea of being called into ministry or whatever was sort of kind of on the radar, right? Everybody took at least 1 year of Bible school, at least in our culture, that's how it happened. And so that whole idea of being called into ministry or doing stuff like that, it was at least a seed there. We have no seeds. People are making it happen, going into their careers and stuff, and then they're hitting 30 and it's too late because they're already super well entrenched and everything. We thought, we got to hit these guys way sooner. So we focus on the first few of the finding things, and here's what we do. We ask them three questions. What is God saying? What am I going to do about it? And how can we help you? And those questions are questions that we completely stole from the best church planter ever. And I won't tell you because I forget his name. Do you remember his name? No. Jesus also used the same questions. You know why we use the same questions? Because somebody did this and we just stole it. And it totally works. This, guys, if you forget everything else, like literally what you are doing is you are empowering people and you're saying, Holy Spirit, would you do this work? And the current format that we're using is we got four. I'm gonna use numbers here that will be interesting. We'll see if this actually, this could be faith statements. We are hoping for 60 people out of that first little list on the cone, and they're gonna have four books that they're gonna read. Reading books. Do you know that almost nobody reads anymore? Right? Isn't that true? Almost nobody reads. And so we're going to do four books, and then they meet with all eight of our pastors over a 6 months period where they discuss this books on discipleship and your personal inner life. And we have this whole system that we have set up in that first finding area where we put time and energy into them, but we ask them those three questions. So in the first few months, you're reading this book. What is God saying to you? What do you need to do? And how can we help? And we're just fanning Holy Spirit stuff. And whatever version that could look, that could be you meeting with someone, right? And just those three questions. It's kind of what I did with Graham, our pastor of Bronx Park. We would occasionally sit in my hot tub and we'd have conversations. And I knew that he was going to be our next campus pastor. Well, Aubrey thought he knew, right? I was hoping, I was dreaming, and I would talk to him because he was our best small group leader, and he had grown up in church, and he kind of got us. And so, if we go back to the, what'd you call it again? The candy corn. Let's go back to the candy corn. So we do that whole finding thing. We spend a year with them. Then we use AMP. And you guys can use AMP however you use it. You know what AMP is, right? Our mentoring program that we do at LifeLinks, as sort of that forming part of it. And when they're finished, AMP, we ask them those three questions. Because there's a potential that God has stirred something in them for more. Now, that whole, well, it actually sort of has to be a pipeline. But there are downspouts out every which way. Because some people might be like Kevin, that great setup guy that you want to have. Some people might be a worship leader that you want to do. Whatever you have it happen, there are downspouts that. Then there's a finishing where we are really big on doing internships. We do internships in summer, which is not fantastic for us, but is great for them. Because people have time in summer, and you don't have to pay interns. Did you know this? Some of you think, yeah, I can't afford this. No, you don't have. And it isn't because we're cheap. It's a whole different deal, is that people, because you have already cast a vision to them about something that you're going to help them grow into. And why would they not want to do that? Many people have the ability to do this, to do that. So you don't have to spend a lot of money. So we spend some time working on the internship. And then at each one of those portals, we have those discussions of saying, what is God saying? What are you going to do about it, and how can we help? And at the end of that, right around in between the last two, Andrew, who does our north end sort of inner city campus, we said to Andrew, and this was a test as well as something that he needed to have happen, hey, would you go to some place where you can learn how to speak better? Because your speaking is sort of your lowest bar. So he went to that. And that could be a little humbling, right? And we were nice-ish, because we were probably too busy and weren't as nice as we could have been when we said it to him. We said, Andrew, can you, you know, and so he found a place and he learned, and he is, Andrew's a great speaker now because there was something in him, but all the way through, this isn't just encouragement. This is you having eyes to see, okay, that's great, but what does she actually need, right? So you're asking them those questions, what we're asking, and we're looking at all these things and saying, okay, but what do they actually need to come if they're going to be? Like Andrew is going to be the next campus pastor over there, but what does Andrew need? He needs to learn how to speak. So we're going to figure out how to do that. He needs to hang around with us. And I think this is so important. I think after you spent time listening to Gianni, you were inspired that you could do something new, right? The more you, and I know there's a like a weird leadership thing, or you know, like somebody said, you know, they paid $100 just to hang around a leader. Have you heard all these stories and everything like that? I'm thinking, you know, I think there's a Holy Spirit part to this, where you have a Holy Spirit stirring in somebody, and it connects with the Holy Spirit in you. And because the other thing feels so corporate America to me. And I don't think the church, like there's stuff that we do that's great, but we're not corporate America, right? There's a Holy Spirit stirring in a leader, in an apostolic leader to Gianni that just resonates inside of you, and you go, oh, I could do something. Well, you were already thinking you could do something. But, you know, there's those things that's stirring. And the more you are around people, because you are that person, because you have allowed yourself to dream. Full circle, right? And I think you have to believe that you're that person. You're that person. I was sort of nasty on youth leaders, but it's true, right? You are that person, and you two are going to be the key to making this function in your church, because you are going to know the younger people and you're going to see potential in them. And like every time you have youth ministry stuff, what one church did is they put somebody in a plant in their youth ministry so that they would have eyes to see, because the poor youth ministers, they're looking after all the kids, and youth ministry is really tough these days, right? Identity stuff and everything. It's like, but they put somebody in their youth ministry who was just thinking about this. That was their whole job. And their youth pastor, they got to know each other so they weren't threatened, right? They weren't taking over your thing or stealing your people, but they had eyes to see this. In your youth ministry, who's your person? Who's your person who has eyes to see? And faith, and who can kind of fan it into flame, and because they are going to carry that thing in their heart, therefore, they're going to stir it up in the people around them. And stirring up youth, it's not always a problem, right? There's some passion there. And you get them, but I don't think we've asked them the question. We haven't formulated the vision in a way that they can connect with. They're busy doing all sorts of other stuff. All right. I'm going to stop talking. Thoughts, questions? What's that? What are our four books? Oh, no. Larissa, what are our four books? Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. I know he had issues. We're good. Holy Habits, yeah, and Seven Habits of Stephen Covey, right? The leadership, seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Do we know this one? And no. This is an older one. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some of us like Andy Stanley, some of us think he's the best thing, other people don't. We don't worry about that kind of stuff. We don't get caught in that, whatever. Okay? We use those four books. Thank you. And you know what? That resonates with our culture. What are the things that resonate? And though that, like, I'm the Ordering Your Private World guy. That's the one that Graham and I are leading, because Graham and I are the shepherds. Pastor Mark is doing the first one because he's the go get it and make it happen. He's the driving engine behind the church, right? Somebody else had a question.
For 80% of the people who come in on the left side, How long do they take to reach the end of send-out?
Okay. Our numbers would have been something like 60, 20, 3, and 1. Like, so for that kind of ratio, because we've done a lot of this already, we're just kind of fanning new stuff, maybe 2 at the end. And that process would take maybe 2, maybe a year or 2 with the people who are going and great. For the people who are younger and just doing, that's a 4 or 5 year process, because they're going through our thing, which is a year, they're going through AMP, which is a year, they're going through internship, which is maybe 6 months, and then we're sending them out.
Can I have a follow-up?
Absolutely.
For the forming part, do you take into account, like, say, people who go for school or ministry or YWAM kind of stuff, where it's the 6 months kind of school thing? Does that replace AMP, or does that not factor in at all?
I'll try not to be nasty. If people have gone to YWAM, we make sure they're going to stay in our church. That's the important part. yes, absolutely. But you know what? We find that most people aren't going to Bible school anymore. If they are, that supercharges this whole process. But almost nobody goes to Bible school. Like, we have an in-house school of ministry thing that we have done as well, too. That also supercharges this process. And we now use AMP, which is amazing. Right? The front row loves it.
Just so everybody knows.
Sure. Accelerated mentoring process. It is 8 months, 9 months, 3 weekends in Regina of some of the best speakers. I'm pulling a Kevin here. Some of the best speakers that you'll ever hear. where you go, you get a survey of the beginning of the kind of things that you need to grow in, the strengths and the weaknesses that you have. Then you get a mentor to help you walk through these, and a group of cohorts of your peers to help you do this. And you hopefully strengthen those pieces. And at the end of it, we would hope, and our desire is, that it moves you to that next level where you understand that, okay, I can maybe ministry of some kind, and full-time ministry, or going to be your next amazing worship leader, or your kids ministry, like whatever, your part-time kids ministry person, whatever it is absolutely fine. Thank you, Kathy. That's AMP.
Wouldn't it be great to see AMP?
Yes. Everybody should go to AMP. Is this what you're saying, Jen? Yeah. Sure. We're always in for funny.
Okay.
He right here.
So I'm more in rural, and I would say 90...
You're more rural?
Yeah, and I would say more like 90% of our students go to Bible college for a year.
Look at that. So you are farther along in that process.
Not really, because they're never going to go back in our church.
Oh.
But, right? Because they're
going to one. No.
Going, but... The whole culture thing, like you grew up in, is we go to Bible college for a year.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And if you're rural, you can do that. It does. Then they aren't really your people, though, right?
Totally.
Yeah. They're somebody else's people, which I'm not sure God's stressed. Like, you might be a little more stressed. God's not stressed about the fact that you train somebody, or Abe, you guys train somebody, and they end up somewhere. We're all one big kingdom, right? Stuff to make it happen. Is that? Yeah, you know what? That whole thing of getting people to intern, and like intern can be 2 hours a week. It, you know, like what you are doing in an internship is you're being intentional with the people to say, we believe in you, we're going to invest in you, and somebody with some leadership quotient is going to be walking with you. And it doesn't have to be you as the main person. But you know what, you guys, nobody believe, kids don't feel like people believe in them, right? And I think, let's see how much time. Ooh, not much. There's the whole, like, we have a generation of lost, fatherless people who nobody has come and just sort of done this, right? And just put their hand on the shoulder and say, you're going to be amazing at this. Yeah. Like, whole generation. Yeah. And you know what I think? Like, that finding thing, that is what you're going to do. You're going to put your hand on the shoulder of somebody and don't, like, just say words that don't mean anything. No, words that actually, you are absolutely brilliant at this. Yeah. Or this is what I see potential for you to do. Nobody believes that in their heart. Because they're a kind of a lost generation. Okay, last question or two. Yeah.
What percentage of this are you looking mostly at younger folks or more seasoned?
We want to cast as broad. Like our thought is, we're not done. We feel like God has said we're not done doing campuses. Like so, we're gonna and a campus is a whole new church. Less most of the administration. So we don't feel like we're done that yet. So the whole thought is, we need some good campus pastors at the end. So like we don't tell our congregation this, but it's like our sneaky way of getting campus pastors at the very end. But along the way, what we get is all of these people who can do all these different things, and they come out the funnel. Did I answer your question? Oh, sorry, young people. So the answer would be our main focus is younger people, but there are people who have a passion that just sort of, hey, can I do this? And most of the time the answer is yes, but remember on that chart it went from whoever to chosen? These are the chosen. These are people that we see potential in, and they know that we see potential in them. And then they rise to something.
I just wanted to add that we also see that the older people are the mentors, and that's the potential that we see in them as well. So we're not excluding the older people because they have a lot of wisdom to share.
Yeah, and most of our teams that went out were a good mix, because if you just have a bunch of young yahoos doing stuff, oh my goodness, we're in trouble. Like, you need... unoffendable, remember? Ha! This is great. I love this. everywhere from 40 to 80. And in my story that I'm going to come full circle around to, when we were planting, when Eileen and I were going to go plant a church, we didn't do it with our MB conference. We asked Mark if they would take us and church plant, and we said no. And then all of a sudden, after our third campus that we planted, we went, oh, we're church planting. Except we're going with 40 people, fully trained, on fire, have a passion in their heart because I absolutely have a passion for this. And you know what my passion is? Releasing people into the fullness of who they are. I'm actually not a fantastic evangelist. I love releasing people into everything that they could be in God. I just think there is nothing better than that. Right? Lord, I thank you for what you are going to do as we begin to lift up our eyes, as we begin to dream, as we are strategic about the way that we put our hand on the shoulders of the people that you have put around us. Give us eyes to see, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit in this whole process. You are an amazing, amazing God. I pray, Lord, that you would, over this weekend, solidify some of the dreams that you have for the people in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, folks. How